We live in very precarious times. From one day to the next, we wonder what's going to be. The world problems, the serious threats and dangers that exist in the world, the national problems, very interesting period of time that we find ourselves in. Quite dangerous, to tell the truth. And, of course, locally, we also have serious concerns for security and safety. And we know, we've studied, we're told, we've learned, we've experienced that ultimately our security and our protection is from Hashem. The Medrash goes so far, it's an interesting Medrash the Yalkut brings, and it seems they went on a search for different cities to see how they were protected, looking for Talmidei Chachomim and setting up people that are learning Torah, which provides the greatest schus. The Torah is Megen Umatzil, shields and it saves, and they were looking to different cities, and they came to one city that didn't have any Torah learning, any Talmidei Chachomim. So they asked, let us see the Neturei Karta. Now, Neturei Karta, don't get scared. Neturei Karta means the people that watch the city. That's where the words come from. Neturei is, Natar is to watch, and Karta is the city. So let's see who's watching this city. And they brought forth the Shomrim, people that were watching the city, armed guards, protection, whatever they had. And they said to them, Ilei Neturei Karta, you people think you're the watchmen of the city? Einon Elo, Les Ilon Elo Machrive Karta. You're only the destroyers of the city. Uman inu neturei karta, sofrin umasnin. The ones that guard a city are the people who teach Torah, the people who study Torah, the people who live by Torah. He says, you watchmen, you armed guards, you're not the watchmen of the city, you're the destroyers of the city. Now, I can understand that watchmen are limited. In fact, the Medrash brings the famous posuk in Tilim, Im Hashem lo yishmor ir, Shov Shokat Shomer. If Hashem will not protect and guard a city, then the Shomer, the guardians, are wasting their time. Because nothing happens without Hashem. That I understand. But why are they the Machrivei Karta? Why are they destroying the city? They're doing their best. They don't have the Schus HaTorah. There's a limit to what they can do. But they're not destroying the city. And the answer, I think, is really very simple. Because when all we have is the Shomrim, is those that are watching us, the armed guards, the natural sources of human protection, we tend to rely on them and forget who the true Shomer Yisroel is, who the true guardian of Klal Yisroel, which is obviously Hashem. So therefore they're called Machrivei Karta. Why are they destroying the city? Because they are taking our focus off Hashem, off the true Shomer Yisroel, off the Posekim, Hashem lo yishmor ir shov shokat Shomer. If Hashem won't guard the city, the Shomer are wasting their time, and they're giving us that false sense of security. So it's really all about security in Hashem. It's really all about bitochoin in Hashem, being able to put our trust in Hashem. And the truth of the matter is that the parsha that we read this morning is just the greatest example, the greatest lesson in how we should be able to put our trust in Hashem. Because the Ramban tells us at the end of the parsha that in the Yitzias Mitzrayim, we saw dispelled all of the mistaken philosophies and religious beliefs that people had. The world always existed. Okay, no, there's creation. We saw the Creator in full force. Hashem's not involved with the world. Ozam Hashem is Oretz. No, Hashem hasn't forsaken the world. if you look at the Makos, if you look at the Kriyas Yamsuf, if you look at what happened, you see Hashem is intimately involved in every detail of our lives to the extent of individuals, not only for the community, not only for the nation, but even the individuals. The Makos were individual. A Jew and a Mitzri could drink from the same cup. One was drinking blood and one was drinking water. A Jew and a Mitzri could be sitting in the standing in the same room in Makas Choshech, in darkness, one frozen as a pillar of darkness, and the other one walking around like Yehudi Moyso Oiro, he sees a room full of light. The Hashgachas Hashem, his involvement with each individual, his powers, his chesed, we saw this all in Mitzrayim. When it came the moment of redemption, he wouldn't let us wait the 18 minutes that it took for the matzahs to rise. Had to get out. The time has come. You can't stay for another moment. And Chazal teaches us that that shows the chesed. The matzah represents the chesed Hashem. One of the Pirushim Rashi brings a Pesach in the parsha is that that refers to Hashem's chesed. So these parshas, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the glorious miracles of our history, of our past, should be the greatest source of our ability to trust Hashem. And yet we find that we're lacking. We are looking to the Neturei Karta, again, the Shomrei Ho'ir, the security systems, which are maybe a normal, necessary form of Ishtadlus, that's true. But on the other hand, it's Machrivei Karta, because we put our trust in that. We can't seem to muster the strength to find that capability within us to be able to put our trust completely and totally in Hashem, to the extent that we have complete menuchas hanefesh, we have complete peace of mind, we have minimum, if a total eradication of all stress and tension and anxiety, and we're totally confident that Hashem will take care of us and our future is so bright. Why are we lacking? With such a glorious history, with such parshias that we're reading now, with such clear evidence to Hashem's involvement in our lives, in our world, in every individual's personal, to the smallest detail of his life. Why do we have it so difficult to really muster that true, firm sense of bitochen? And I think the answer lies in Kapitel Ayin Zayin, in the 77th chapter in Tehillim that we have to at least attempt to study this evening. And here the kapitel is really broken up into two parts. And in between, there's a transitional posuk which changes the focus of the entire discussion. It's interesting that it starts, Lam Natzeach Al Yudusun Le'osof. This is a song of praise. The Targum says, "Lishabachto al yedei Yedusun laosof tushbachto." We're praising Hashem. Now, if you read the first part of this perek, you're wondering where exactly are we praising Hashem. But this is a song of praise to Hashem, and it reflects the full gamut of our history, our present situation, and how we can turn the situation around in our benefit. We're screaming. Etzoko, etzoko is a scream. I'm calling out to Hashem. I'm calling out to Hashem. He should listen to me. Beyoim tzorosi, Hashem doroshti. And the day of my tzora, we're deeply in sorrow. We're in the golus. We've suffered the churban. We've suffered the exile. We've suffered so much, page after page after page, blood-stained pages and chapters of our history. And we call out to Hashem. We're searching Hashem, and we don't seem to get an answer. He continues and says, "Ezkor Elokim Ve'Emoyo." I remember Hashem, but I'm overwhelmed. Osicho v'sisatef ruchi selo. I speak out, I call out to Hashem, but I become overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed with the suffering of the Golos. I'm so overwhelmed with the trials and tribulations. I'm so overwhelmed with all of the challenges that face us. I call out to Hashem. I don't know what to do. I'm desperate. And more than that, the pasuk continues. I remember... The The Ezkeru on Posuk Zayin, Ezkeru Neginosi Balailo, Im Levovi Osicho Yechapis Ruchi, says, I remember the Beis Hamikdosh, the music, the songs, the Shira that we sang to Hashem, that glorious period of our history when we lived in Eretz Yisrael and we had a Beis Hamikdosh and we felt so close to Hashem. And I can't find it anymore. It doesn't exist. We're alone. We're in darkness. We're in suffering. I think I passed over the pasuk. It says, "Achazto shemurois einai." It's like you hold my eyes open. So the Mefarshim explain, I can't even sleep at night. I can't close my eyes to go to sleep. The suffering overwhelms me. It plagues me. It haunts me. What's going on? My personal suffering, the suffering of those around me, the suffering, the broader suffering of the Klal Yisrael, the Golus. It's so painful. And the pain of the Golus leads us to some very bizarre conclusions. If you look at Posuk Ches, Halo Oilomim Yiznach Hashem, V'lo Yoisif Lirtzoisoid, have you forsaken us forever? The length of the Golus. You know, we're over 1950 years, closing in on 2000 years, is something that gives us this false sense, albeit false sense, but Hashem has forsaken us permanently. Hal oilomim yiznach Hashem. I said, forever? It's over? You're not going to ever redeem us? We're in this golus. We were promised by the Nevi'im such glory. We were promised by the Nevi'im, Ayin lo yiroaso lo kimzu lo secho. That's what we're going to see in the Ikvis, in the Yemois HaMoshiach, is beyond what anyone ever imagined. And have you forsaken us forever? More. Hey, ofeis lo netzach hastoi. Posutes. Has your chesed been eradicated permanently? No more chesed Hashem. Aye, we know Hashem is ki le'olam chastoi. His chesed is forever. David HaMelech said that in many places. But here we're saying the golus is so bitter. The pain is so great. The overwhelming feeling is so demoralizing that we think Hashem has forsaken us forever and his chesed no longer exists. And the same thing, Hashochach posuk yud, chanois keil, Im kofatz ba'af racham of selo, have you forgotten your graciousness? Chanino chanois means a lotion of giving matnas chinom, giving us even beyond chesed, even beyond what we deserve. You've forgotten all of that? Nothing exists? No rachamim? It's all gone. The golus is so black, dark, and bitter that it gives us the sense that Hashem has completely forsaken us, has completely forgotten about us, has ended his connection to Klal Yisrael completely and has put an end to his chesed and his rachamim. This is the sense that people get. This is the sense that Klal Yisrael sometimes gets in the golos. This is the first stage. This is the first part of this perek. And here comes the transition. Va'oimar. And I say, chaloisihi. And this is questionable what that means. Shenois yamin elyoin. This whole posuk is in very big dispute what it means. Basically, there are two ideas that we find over here. But the simplest thing, Rashi seems to say, that we're sick. We realize that we're sick. Sick meaning not physically sick, but meaning that we have distanced ourselves from Hashem, and Hashem has given us these challenges, these difficulties, all of the golus that we have, in order that we, it says, Ein zois elo lahachiloisi liirani lo shuvelov. It's to make me feel this sense of sickness, this sense that I just, it's something's wrong with me. I have to change. I have to return. I have to do tshuva. I have to better myself. And the realization that comes with that is that this golus doesn't mean that Hashem has forsaken the Klal Yisrael forever. This golus doesn't mean that Hashem no longer bestows chesed or rachamim. The golus means that we have still, after so many years, after being chased out of Eretz Yisrael with a destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, with goyla acha goyla golsa Yehuda kula, one golos after another, after another, after another, for close to 2,000 years, and we still haven't wakened up to say, hey, I got to change. I got to do something about it. And it's very interesting, the Alkut Shmoini, the Medrash, brings a very very bizarre discussion on this pasuk when it says Chaloisi. Says as follows: Omar Rabbi Shimon, Shomate miyomecha galgal hacham ochoile. Did you ever hear of the sun getting sick? Never heard such a thing. The sun is sick today. I mean, sun sometimes doesn't shine. It's covered with clouds. But nobody ever referred to the sun as sick. Sorry, the print is small. 1 second. Shomato, that the Oreach should be sick? Did you ever hear that the moon is sick? Says, no. They never get sick? Says, Kol Shekein HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not sick. That's not the problem. And then it says, Moshe LeGibor, a Moshe to a strong person, Shoshoyer B'Medina, he lived in a certain state. V'hoyim b'nei ha'medina betuchim boi, k'shi yovo ha'gai sois l'shom, says the people of the city, of the town, the state, were sure that the minute any trouble will arise, people will come, an army will come to attack, he'll come right out, he'll show them his face, and everybody's going to run away. Such a gibor that he was. He says, Kivin shebo ha'goy sois l'shom, omer lahem yemini choshesholi. The armies come one day, and he says, oi, my right hand hurts me. I can't handle the battle today. That's what happens when you rely on human koiches. So he continues and says like this: Avla kodesh boruch hu eino kein, elo loy kotzro yad Hashem mihoishia. Hashem's hand is never too short to save us. Ki avinoseichem hoyu mavdilin, but rather your sins have been the things that have created this separation between us and Hashem. Now, it's a very interesting thing. Did you ever hear of a sun getting sick? Did you ever hear of a moon getting sick? No. So certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not sick. Is that what we think when we're in the Golos? HaChiloisi, Chaloisi, Ba'oim HaChaloisi, that there's a possibility, I would think, no, Hashem is sick. Hashem can't do it. It seems that the effect, the collective effect of the suffering of the Golus, has this type of a shake-up in our thinking, of a confusion in our thinking, that we say, you know, Hashem can't, it seems he can't handle it. It seems he's too weak. Yes, his chesed may be eternal. And yes, his rachamim too. But he can't do it. And because he can't do it, therefore, we look at the situation and we say, "Halo Elomim Yiznach Hashem." Not because he doesn't want us, not because he doesn't care about us. He's nebuch, too weak. It's going to be forever. Hey, office lenetzach chastoy. His chastoy, his rachamim have all ended. Hashochach chanois kale. Why? Because he's too weak. And the answer is, he's not too weak. It's rather the golus exists, not because of Hashem's weakness, but because of our distancing ourselves. And the lashon of the Medrash is, Ke'avin Esechem Hoyu Mavdilim, Havdola, separate us. We have distance, we have been separated because of our inappropriate actions and behaviors. We become separated from Hashem. We've built a wall in between us. A wise man once said, I have it sitting on my desk, if Hashem seems far away, guess who moved? He didn't move away from us. We moved away from him. And that's really the lesson. We have to look at the suffering of the Golus not as Hashem's weakness, not as Hashem's forsaking us, not as Hashem's decision no longer to bestow chesed and rachamim upon us, but rather, we have distanced ourselves. We've put a mechitza between us and Avinu Shebashamayim. We've gone our own ways. We've lost interest on a certain level. You know, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim that in the middle of the Golus, between the separation of Klal Yisrael and Hashem, Hashem comes and begs us to take him back into our lives. It's the moshul of a husband and a wife who are estranged. That's the Shir HaShirim, is the moshul. The nimshul is to Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people. And he comes, the husband, in the middle of the night, and he says, Pischili rachoisi rayosi samosi yoinosi shiroishi nimlotol. He says, I beg you, open up the door. Let me back into your life. I've come in the dew of the night. I'm all wet. It's wet and damp and cold and miserable out here. Please let me in. And she answers, Poshatati eskutonti echocha el bushenu. Rochatzti esragle echocha tanfeim. Says, I've gotten undressed. I'm not going to get dressed to open the door for you. I've washed my feet. I'm not going to put my feet on the dirty floor and to go up to open the door for you. Callous, cold, miserable, hateful. And all of a sudden, Doidi sholach yodem in achoyer, she sees his hand through the window. Umei homo alov. And then her intestines churn with love. And the next pasuk says, Kamti ani obserach ledoidi. He jumps up to open for him. Belev sholim uvenefesh chafetzo. Rashi explains that the moshul is to the Klal Yisrael. Hashem begs us, come back, return, come back to me. Remove the mechitza, remove the separation. Don't distance yourself. I didn't distance myself from you. You distance yourself from me. Let me back into your life. And Klal Yisrael answers, I've poshati eskutonti. I've gotten undressed, and Rashi explains, I have other ways of life. I found alternative things to do. I have a material existence. I have so many important things to do in my life. You know, the spiritual stuff is a small part of the whole existence, but it's not front and center. It's not the primary reason for which I exist. And you sort of, you know, take a back seat over there, and I'm not interested. So this is Klal Yisrael in the Golus. This is the way we talk. This is outside. But what happens? Doidi sholach yodem in hachoyer. All of a sudden she sees his hand, a little more than just hearing his voice. And everything turns around and she jumps up, belev sholim uv nefesh chafetzo, with the fullest, deepest love and desire. Which means that the Klal Yisrael, despite the fact that we've distanced ourselves from Hashem, despite the fact that we've built this mechitzas habarzel, this iron curtain, if you will, between us and Hashem, despite the fact that we've found other interests in life and we pursue them with a passion and sort of relegate the connection to Hashem to a very back burner, but deep down inside, it's there. All it takes is a little more stimulus. All it takes is a little seeing of his hand. All it takes is something additional to turn everything around. And what was callous and cold resistance turns around to be passion and love. Belev sholem uvenefesh chafetzo. This is really what we are in the Golus. And this is what happens over here. We come to the realization that Hashem didn't distance himself from us. He's coming back. He's begging us. We distance ourselves from him. And then something turns at that moment. And all of a sudden I say, oh, it's not his lack of ability. It's not his desire never to do chesed again. It's not his forgetting about having rachmonis on us. It's us having distanced ourselves from him. And then what happens is very interesting. Ezkor ma'ala leko, ki ezkor mikedem pilecho. I remember everything that Hashem did in our past. And the next psukim go on, that I remember all of the miracles that He did. I remember what He did in Mitzrayim. I remember what He did on the Yamsuf. Go out to Apostle Tezayim, Bizroya Amecho, Bnei Yaakov, Yosef, Sela. You delivered us. You redeemed us with that outstretched arm in Mitzrayim, the miracles that You did. And all of a sudden, we now become inspired with Hashem's Hashkocha Protis, with Hashem's miracles, the Nisim that He did. He's all powerful. He's involved in our lives. And we go on and on. Ruchamayim Elokim, Ruchamayim Yochilu, Af Yirgesu HaTaoimos. The Kriyas Yamsuf is referred to here, that the sea split, the greatest of miracles, and as our enemies were drowning in this ferocious sea, we were walking through on dry land, and all of a sudden, we now are capable of learning the lessons of the glorious past, the miracles of Mitzrayim, the miracles of the Yamsuf, the miracles of the Midbar. And now we can inspire ourselves. And the Meforshim explain over here that what all this leads to, the Meiri says it beferish, this is what leads us to be able to have, once again, bitochen in Hashem. So it seems there's a very interesting cycle over here. Klal Yisrael and the Golos becomes overwhelmed. To the extent where we think Hashem has given up on us, Hashem doesn't care about us, Hashem doesn't have any power. Even if he does care about us, he has no power. We think that it's Hayad Hashem Tiktzor. It's like this strong man who, when the enemy comes, he says, "Oh, my right hand hurts me, I can't help you." No. That's the way we looked at it. We looked at it that way because we were so overwhelmed by the pain and suffering. But then we wake up and we see, no, Hashem's not sick. Did you ever hear the moon get sick? Did you ever hear the sun get sick? Hashem doesn't get sick. He doesn't get weak. It's us. We created Avoneisechem Mavdilim. We created a machitza, a separation between us and Him. That realization, all of a sudden, allows us to revisit our glorious past and to learn the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and all of the miracles, and to be mechazik ourselves, that because of that now, we are capable of having bitochen. The Meiri actually brings another opinion that says this chiloisi is not the pshat that Hashem, we're the ones that we see, it's our shortcoming, and therefore we have to do tshuva to remove the mechitza, to remove the separation that we made between Hashem. He says it's just as if the golos ended our lives, as if we are dead. He says for loshen of kimosei cholo, the chiloisi over here refers to cholo, refers to death. And it seems there's two approaches that can lead a person to be able to revisit the glorious history, the glorious past, the glorious miracles, the recognition of Hashem's love and chesed and rachamim and hashgocha, and to be able to be mechazik ourselves in that, and to find the strength to put our trust in Hashem and be able to be botuach, to be able to be sure, to be able to be secure about the future, as dangerous and precarious as it may seem. One of them is the realization that, yes, we haven't seen a lot in the last 2,000 years. It's very much reduced from what our glorious past and what our ancestors witnessed. But when we realize that He didn't move away from us, we moved away from Him, that gives us the ability to revisit the glorious past and to learn the lessons and to strengthen our bitochen. The other approach that the Meiri says is sometimes just total desperation. We come to a point where it's so beyond anything that we could imagine. It's so overwhelming. It's so destructive. It's so painful that we feel like it's all over. When it's all over, when there's nothing that can be done, in a total state of desperation, there's only one place to turn. And we turn to Hashem. And these seem to be the two possible emotions that evoke, that the Golos evokes in us, and that evoke in us the ability to now turn back to our history and to study the miracles of the past and to derive strength from them in order to be able to strengthen ourselves and to develop this newfound sense of bitochen. The Rambam writes in on the second one that the Meiri says, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, where the question is about saying Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah is Hashem is judging the world, it's not a time to say Hallel. So the Rambam explains in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he says, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of Yirov HaFachad, fear, trepidation, Umivrach, being so afraid of Hashem that I want to run away from him. The fear is palpable. It's overwhelming. I can't, what the world that we're being judged is too much. I just want to hide. Umivrach, umonoisei lov. I'm hiding from him. I'm running away from him. And where do I run? Into his embrace. I run from him to him. Because sometimes it's only when we're overwhelmed with fear and we have no place to turn that we return to Hashem with a newfound sense of passion, with it much like a, you know, maybe a parent is about to hit a little child and the child doesn't have any place to run, so he runs into the embrace of the parent, and hopefully that will calm down the situation. Sometimes the desperation of the golos, the desperation of the suffering, and that's very clearly what sometimes in life we have, that we have challenging and difficult situations in order to bring us closer to Hashem. Because sometimes we create this separation, we've created this mechitza, and some of that comes from the difficulties of the golos, and we haven't seen the miracles of the past, and Hashem is behested upon him, and oftentimes we wonder, we call out to him, and it doesn't help. Here we've been asking for the return to Yerushalayim, we say every Shabbos, we say every day, and it doesn't happen yet, and after a while we can get disillusioned. But sometimes the ultimate state of disillusionment, of fear, Yirov HaFachad Umivrach, to such a state, if we could run to the moon, we would leave this world and run to the moon. But where do we really run? We're in a state of desperation. We run back into Hashem's embrace. And that's what leads us to be able to find a newfound strength of looking to the past, of being inspired by all the chesed, by all of the miracles, and being able to look forward to a more promising and more positive future. This is really a way to look at the difficulties of life and to turn them around to serve us, to bring us to ever greater levels of trust in Hashem. I think we should note that the power of bitochen is one of the most amazing powers that exist. It's a power that extends even beyond the power of tefillah. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says as follows. He says, Hashem, they went out of Mitzrayim. That's next week's parsha. Paro is pursuing. They come to the Yam Suf. There's this raging sea over here. There's this raging army trying to kill them over here. And there's wild animals on both sides. So they're locked in. They have no place to go. And Moshe Rabbeinu does what Moshe Rabbeinu was taught to do, what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. He turns to Hashem and he cries out, help us. And you know what Hashem answers him? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ma titzak elai? What are you crying out to me? Dabrel b'nei Yisroel v'yisoh. Speak to b'nei Yisroel and they should go into the Yam. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh asked the question, Ma titzak elai? To whom would you like me to cry? What does that mean? What are you crying to me? You're the one. Paro's here. The Yam Suf is here. The animals are here. You have to help us. So the Or HaChaim answers like this. He says, this was not a time for tefillah. There was a kitrug. I guess because of, he explains a little bit, because of the involvement that they had In Mitzrayim, when Avodah Zorah, we read just in this parsha, Mishchu Ukhulachem Tzoyin, Mishchu Yedeichem Avodah Zorah, Chazal say, Ukhulachem Tzoyin, they were influenced by Mitzrayim to the extent that there was an engagement on some level with Avodah Zorah, and there was a kitrug. The Satan was able to stand in the way of their tefillos. The tefillos wouldn't help. They had so messed up on there. They were great people, but they messed up in Mitzrayim to the extent that the tefillos now couldn't help. Power is pursuing. The Am is here. That's it. It's all over. But there is one Eitzah left when all else fails, including tefillah. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisou. Tell them to go into the Yam. Let them express their emunah and their bitochon, he says. They're going into the Yam. They're trusting Hashem. How could you go into a raging sea? What do you think is going to happen? It's all over. You're walking to your death. No, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisou. If they follow that and they follow Nachshon into the Yam Suf, then that will help to save them. That will bring about miracles that even the tefillah, even the tefillah Moshe Rabbeinu could not help. And that's why Hashem says to him, Ma titzak elai. Now's not the time for tefillah. Now's the time for emunah and bitochen. And really, we can't say now's not the time for tefillah, because we certainly need tefillah, and that's only something that Hashem says at this particular moment. The kitrug was such, the accusation of the Satan was such that we couldn't do anything about it. We certainly need tefillah. We also need tefillah because tefillah inspires bitochen. When a person stands in front of Hashem, and when a person praises Hashem, and when a person asks what he needs from Hashem, and a person's constantly reciting, you're the Refei Chorim, you're the Mevarech Hashonim, you're the Chayin Elodim Das, you're the Shemei HaTfilah. All of that together adds up to Chizuk in Bitochen. We strengthen our trust in Hashem because of the act of Tfilah. So we need the Tfilah to strengthen Bitochen. We need the Tfilah to penetrate the heavens, to beg Hashem to help us. But there's something else that we need as well. And that is that sense of bitochen. The sense of bitochen that's built on emunah. The emunah that we derive from the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The emunah that we were machazik in these parshias, which talk about all of the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim. That emunah has to lead us to a bitochen, because that emunah expresses Hashem's infinite powers and Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, his chesed, his rachamim, his involvement with every minute detail of our lives, which means that's who he is. And now that we learned that the golus only represents the mechitza that we built, we put that separation. If Hashem seems distant, guess who moved? We moved from him. Well, now, when we come to that realization, then we can move back. Then we can revisit the Yetzias Mitzrayim with all of its inspiration to emunah, and it can develop in us this true sense of bitochen, of trusting Hashem. And the two most critical ingredients in trusting Hashem is, number one, the knowledge that He can do it, because sometimes we tend not to trust because, oh, it's impossible. Impossible. What I need to get out of this, to extricate myself from this situation, it's just impossible. There's nothing impossible. Hayad Hashem tiktzor, nothing is impossible. Number one. Number two, does Hashem really care? Is he real? He cares. He loves. He's full of chesed. He's full of rachamim. He's hatov ki lo yicholu rachamecho. His rachamim has never been withheld. V'amarachim ki lo yisamu chasodecho. And his chesed never ends. That's why me'olam kivinu loch. That's why we can always hope to him. Because his chesed and rachamim are infinite and are eternal. Are eternal. They never cease. He never withholds them. They never cease to exist. And when we come to that realization, we can truly develop a sense of trust in Hashem. And that trust in Hashem can save us from the worst situations, from personal difficulties in life, and a Klal Yisrael that can unite in their bitochen in Hashem, that can certainly give us this sense of a collective trust, and that's a strength that can truly influence the future the fate of Klal Yisrael. And I think that we have to use every opportunity that we have to attempt to strengthen this sense of bitochen, because that seems to be the most powerful, powerful message. Just like to add to this one point. There's a certain level of bitochen that comes just from the fact that we observe mitzvahs and the fact that we study with a passion, with a commitment, with an intellectual honesty, Hashem's Torah. And it's really very simple. When a Jew does mitzvahs, what is he saying? I'm trusting Hashem. Why? Why am I doing this? Why am I spending so much money on certain mitzvahs? Why am I sacrificing so much time on certain mitzvahs? Why am I putting myself in so many difficult situations in order to perform mitzvahs? Because I trust Hashem. That's what it says. Otherwise, if I didn't trust Hashem, I wouldn't be doing that. So there we have an expression of trust in Hashem. And the same thing happens when we learn. You know, a Jew's learning Torah is very, very strange. You know, let's take, for example, a scientist, an open-minded, honest scientist, not one who's being funded by a certain special interest cause, and therefore his conclusions are, you know, pre-concluded. But he's honest, and he has a certain theory, and he has a question, and another question, and another contradiction, and can't be, we have to find a new theory. Not so in the study of Torah. If you study Torah, if you study especially Chazal, Gemara, Talmud, what you see is that every question must have an answer. There is no such thing as a contradiction. When you ask a contradiction, you can spend days and sometimes days and nights and maybe weeks, but you know there's a resolution. There's always an understanding. There's no such thing as a contradiction. There's no such thing as a concept offered by Chazal that doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense, the chesaron is in us. But we know to work, to work, to work. We never discard the theory because we found a contradiction. It's not discardable. It's not contradictable because it's truth. It's Hashem's truth. And when the Jew approaches his learning that way, and when he approaches his observance of mitzvahs that way, with this sense of mesiras nefesh, with this sense of dedication, with this sense of uncompromising commitment, it's the greatest inspiration to express and to develop within us this sense of bitochen. And with that sense of bitochen, the world is a different place. To the degree that we can put our trust in Hashem, it's to that degree that all of the challenges and difficulties of life fall into place. Hashem should help us. We should be able to inspire ourselves in a greater sense of trusting Hashem. And that trust should serve as a schus for those that are sick, for those that are challenged and in need of so many personal yeshuas, and for the precarious matzav with which we find ourselves today in Klal Yisrael. And maybe that's why that this Kapitel Ayin Zayin is referred to as L'Shabachto L'Osof Tushbachto. This is really praise Hashem. Because if one can see in the Golus the turning point of being able to draw ourselves even closer to Hashem from the mimamakim, from the distance, from the near-death experience, from the realization that there's a machitza that separates us, then that can truly be an inspiration to bitochen, and all of the merit that ensues for the Bali bitochen can be ours and can be for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Yehi rotzoin that we should be zeicher to the bitochen, and the bitochen should have that powerful effect on all of the challenges facing us.